Welcome to Growing Classically, a show where we explore the rich intersection of Christian and classical education. Join us as we mine the truths of timeless wisdom, discuss the integration of faith and learning, and navigate the exciting journey of cultivating young minds. Together, let's embark on a quest to nurture intellects, character, a love for lifelong learning, and a love for Christ. Tune in as we unravel the art of growing classical in a modern world. Well, my name is Ryan Gilmore, and I'm joined once again by Tabitha Bryant, our head of our logic school here at Oak Grove Classical Academy. And today, we'll continue thinking about the term logic. Now, if you've ever watched basketball, you know that to one degree, it all looks the same. And I understand that some of you listening will be massively offended or at least disappointed by that statement. But on the surface, truth be told, it can all look very much the same. Now, from a 30,000 foot view, we know that there are 10 players running up and down a court, shooting an orange spherical ball, which I guess balls are spherical, at a goal 10 feet up in the air. At some point, a buzzer sounds, and the team with the most points wins. However, not all teams are built the same. And even still, not all offenses are built the same. And there are early offenses, set offenses, motion offenses, zone offenses, spread offenses, just to name a few. And not to mention all of the ways that these offenses can be actually realized out on the court. Now, in much the same way, logic schools, or middle schools as they're commonly called in our country, are, from a 30,000 foot view, the same. We know that there's a teacher. We know that there's a student. We know that there's a classroom and that there's a lesson to be taught and learned. And no matter how you look at it, these are the key elements. Not all teachers look or teach the same. Not all students look or learn the same. And not all classrooms look and feel the same. Not all lessons are delivered or received the same, but these are the core elements. So Tabitha, in what ways is our logic school similar to other middle schools out there?
That's a great question. In many ways, our logic school is similar to other middle schools out there. We have multiple periods a day. I think middle school is typically that transition from having one teacher all day long to having multiple teachers throughout the day where you learn different subject areas. And so at Oak Grove in our logic school, we have seven classes each day taught by seven different teachers. We are unique in that most of our students travel with the same group of students throughout the day, but I don't think that that's dependent on a logic school model or a dialectic school model. I think that's just our growth. But that's one way is the multiple periods, multiple teachers. We have transitions. That's where they're not only staying in that one classroom, but moving from class to class. And we have athletics and activities. We introduce the idea of extracurricular courses. We call it Whole Man here at Oak Grove, but it's an opportunity for our students to explore different topics like chess or robotics. We have painting. We have skills outside of a fine arts program. And I know in other schools, in elementary schools, they do have music, they have art, they have these opportunities that we have in our logic school as well. But we take it a little further than that, in that in the logic school, our fine arts are truly determined by the classical arts of music, and then drawing, putting math to paper. And so, and creating objects. And then through Whole Man, we provide them an opportunity to think outside of that fine arts realm and study things that might be considered an extracurricular course in conjunction with orchestra or art or choir. at a normal middle school.
So normal middle schools, you've got, like you said, transitions between classes. You've got multiple teachers that you're going and seeing throughout the day. You're gonna have lunch in a big group together. You're going to have some type of, hopefully, even though the arts are being taken away in public schools all across America, you are probably gonna have some type of orchestra or choir or something like that. You're gonna have athletics, which is so great. And, you know, I think too, the electives, right? Because I remember being, I went to a public middle school and we had electives and they were quarterly and we got to go around, bounce around from elective to elective. I remember taking home ec. Mm-hmm. And I remember learning how to bake a little bit, and I sewed this ginormous pillow because it was, you know, one of the final things that said, hey, you're going to do some sewing project. You can make a pillow. I got these Miami Dolphins, you know, this Miami Dolphin fabric, and I made this way too massive of a pillow. And then I ended up keeping that pillow from sixth grade all the way through high school. It's just kind of like a lounge pillow, but it's kind of gross because it never got washed.
Oh, no.
So anyways, but yeah, our students here are going to have a lot of those same types of experience. They're going to be exposed to more things. They're going to continue their progression toward eventual adulthood and eventual independence. You mentioned the term whole man, and that kind of segues a little bit into the uniqueness of our school model here at Oak Grove. And before we get into kind of the distinctives of Oak Grove, can you unpack whole man? Like, what? Why use that term, whole man? What does that even mean?
Whole man, mind, body, heart, soul, right? And so our goal at Oak Grove is to nourish each of those things. If you are an imbalanced person, then you're not able to seek truth as clearly. And so we nourish our mind through academics, we nourish our soul through scripture, and we nourish our bodies through athletics or skills. And so the idea behind whole man is that we're not just choosing electives for elective sake. We are choosing electives that encourage our students to build their bodies, their minds, and their souls in some way, shape, or form. We believe that it's important to make sure that those things are balanced. If you have a student in front of you whose soul is hungry, you're not going to be able to nourish their mind well. And if you have a student in front of you whose body is hungry, they not just physically hungry, right? Like hunger pains, but hungry for movement. Yeah, yeah, yeah. For activity. Their hands are hungry. You're still not going to get to the mind as easily. And so it's really important that when we're thinking about teaching our students, that we are thinking of them as a whole man, as a whole person, so that we can dive into their minds well by encouraging them through their soul. And I say heart because I think that's another distinctive importance of Oak Grove, is that our teachers aren't here for a paycheck. Our teachers aren't here to say, I got a teaching license, this is what I'm doing. Not to say that our teachers don't get paid well, because we do. It's more of, we're not here because we couldn't think of anything else to do. We're here because we care about our students, we care about our content, and we want to teach them well. And we want to encourage them to find passion in what we're doing, whether we're teaching math or science, or we are reading Oliver Twist. We are doing so with fervor. We want our students to feel that same joy as they're learning. And I think that comes from knowing their heart, which leads to almost that Christ-centered component too, right? If we're teaching our students in love, if we understand that we're being called to teach a soul, that's because we're working at a Christ-centered school. So we want to pray for them. We want to know how their lives are. And if we're feeding them in that way and they know that they can trust us through that, we're even more likely to open up their minds to the passion that we have for the content we're teaching.
Yeah, that whole thing about just wanting to nourish these kids, like, I don't know, I keep using in episodes my son Cooper. It's not favoritism, maybe it is. I don't know. It just keeps coming to the top of my mind.
No, he's a student here.
He's a student here, right? And he's in the Logic School right now, and as of this recording, and you know, he's in Latin, and he's learning much in Latin, and he's doing a great job. And Latin's really important. Well, we can do a whole additional episode just on the beauty and the importance of teaching Latin as opposed to focusing on more, you know, modern romantic languages and those things. But one of the things that I love about his Latin teacher this year is, while she wants to make sure that he knows Latin well, while she wants to make sure that he grows in his ability to understand the foundation and the basis for like half of the English words out there, and just hearing from her mouth recently, from her perspective of like, I'm here to help nurture souls. Like, man, I want him to learn so much about Latin, but at the end of the day, if she is sharing the gospel with my kid day in and day out, you know, I'd pay $1 million to get that. And so, yeah, that Christ-centered perspective, and the fact that so many of our teachers are like just passionate about doing that with our kids, sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to these students, that is such a powerful and such a beautiful, beautiful thing.
No, and you do see it in our teachers in different topics, right? We get to learn that our God is a God of order, and math is not math simply because. Math is because the Lord gave us order and gave us reason and the ability to form argument out of facts. It's such a beautiful place when you can look at your student and say, I see you and I'm praying for you. I taught at a middle school prior to coming to Oak Grove, and I had several students that I wish that at the end of the day I could have said, I'm praying for you. And I may have, but it was never without this underlying fear of, oh man, I hope that gets taken well, because I think that that's something that is lacking, and believers have developed a fear of being able to do in the public education system.
Yeah. And there are, and we know there are teachers out there in the public education system who know, love, and trust Jesus very, very deeply, and who are vocal and find opportunities and find ways within the context of their schools to be able to share their faith. So we know that exists, right? And we know that there are other Christian schools out there. Right, there are other schools. You know, we've talked on previous episodes about the difference between the discipleship model and evangelistic model. We've unpacked those things, but we know that there are other Christian schools out there. We don't, you know, corner the market on that. But what continues to make us more distinctive is that we're also a classical school. So, you know, our Logic School, we're classical. What does that mean?
It means that we are part of the Trivium. Our Logic School is there's the Trivium and then there's the Quadrivium, and it is believed that you can be in the Trivium stage of learning for many years, and not until you've completed the Trivium should you really dive deeply into the Quadrivium. Trivium is grammar, logic, rhetoric. And classically, in the logic stage, they're learning to answer the question, why? They've been given this foundation of facts. They know their definitions. They have learned how to spell. Now we're asking them to put those things in context of forming an argument, writing a paper using their grammar and their spelling well. What words matter when we're speaking, and which ones can we remove? And so in classical education, I believe that, you know, they are learning those things in a different setting. In an average middle school, they're going to learn what words are needed and what words are not necessary. But we encourage them to think deeply about those concepts through dialectic discussion, which we talked about in our last podcast. Through that unceasing question of, okay, yes, we understand that 1 + 2 = 3. Okay, what if we have a fraction? What do you need to have? You need to have a common denominator. Why? Why do you need to have a common denominator? And why is it that when we are dividing fractions, we take the reciprocal of the second and multiply? It's not just because. There's reason for that. When we are writing a sentence, why do we put a comma? When do we use a comma? Why does it matter? When we're reading literature, we choose literature that is worth reading and to discuss. And Mrs. Schneider does a wonderful talk at FEW.
Our family education weekend.
Yes. Yeah. On why we read secular literature, because we are a Christian school. And it is because we want to be able to have the opportunity to dig deeply in a controlled environment with our students, with a foundation of truth, where they can ask those questions of why and know that it's a protected discussion. And it's one that is grounded in the Lord.
Yeah. So beautiful. And you saying the grounded in the Lord, that does tie those things together, right? Because we don't teach a Bible class and then teach a logic class. We want all of these things to be infused, but there are other Christian classical schools out there.
There are.
So we're are we just like them? I think there's one more distinctive, something that sets us apart and makes us pretty darn unique, especially in our community.
Yeah, we're UMS. We're UMS. University model. Yeah. At the logic level, this changes in that our students start coming on Fridays. So at the grammar stage, they are here on Mondays and Wednesdays, and they are being co-taught by their parents on Tuesdays and Thursdays. At the logic level, we add an additional day. We come in on Friday, and there's reason for that. We're going deeper. We are beginning to have fruitful discussion, and we want our students to be able to ask why and be left in a stage of feeling like they might not know the answer, but not for too long. It would be unfortunate if we left them in the ironic stage of a discussion on Wednesday and then didn't see them again until Monday. And so by providing one more day, it kind of closes the gap in space of time between each lesson. But also, we are moving from the parent being a co-teacher to being a guide. And what that means is that in the grammar stage of learning, parents are actually teaching content. And so our teachers are teaching content Monday, Wednesday, but they may not teach the entire math for the week. The parent might be expected to teach math or science or lead a lesson on spelling. They take their tests at home in some contents. So they are teaching alongside in grammar and logic. They're becoming a guide. The lesson is provided Monday, Wednesday, Friday. We are teaching the students what to know and how to think about a content area. And then we're asking them to apply what we've taught them on Tuesday, Thursday. So a parent's no longer being expected to teach a new concept. but they are being expected to be an active part of the learning process in being available for questions if a student is trying to apply a concept or if they're doing a reading. I mean, our reading in the logic school is rich. And some of our students still need their parents to help them understand what they're reading. They're reading The Odyssey in eighth grade. I read The Odyssey as a junior in high school, and I probably could have used a parent to help me understand what I was reading. And so UMS at the logic level is still really important because our students are still growing in many ways. And I think like middle schoolers across the world, they're going through a phase in their growth where they're naturally becoming more independent, or they're seeking independence. They're becoming more aware of themselves. And so having an opportunity for them to spend Tuesdays and Thursdays at home with their parents who can speak into them as individuals and guide them in where they should find their identity is really important. Where if they were here 5 days a week, that would be left to us to guide them in some big questions that we need partners in knowing how to answer.
The UMS trajectory of moving from dependence as kindergartners, pre-Kers, kindergartners, first graders, and so on, toward independence upon graduation, right? That's the goal. We want our kids to be independent. I have always said, I want my daughter Claire to be a fiercely independent woman. Like, I want that more than anything. Now, I want her to, Lord willing, also maybe one day get married and depend on her husband as well, and depend on the community of Christ. Like, those are really important things. But I do want her to grow to be this strong, independent woman. And she's going to be going into logic school next year. And those Tuesdays, Thursdays allow us in a measured way to help her grow toward that independence, right? Where, my wife will be doing a majority of that home day guiding for Claire. But having her there and being able, like you were saying, being there to help guide and shape her during these really important formative years, and to allow her opportunities to become independent and even maybe potentially to fail and fail safe, because failure's good. We'll do a whole other podcast on why failing is okay and what it can teach us. But we don't want to just completely let go of the reins at this point. It would be foolish from a developmental standpoint. You can talk to any educational psychologist out there giving, 10, 11, 12, 13-year-olds free reign of life is not wise. Yeah, it's very detrimental. Within our model, Tabitha, specifically, what can people expect? Is this for everybody out there? Like, what could you leave our listeners with?
Is this for everyone out there classically, from a classical perspective? I think so. I think that it would do our community good to start thinking about things from a classical perspective of going deeper, not wider, understanding that we are teaching individuals with souls. But UMS, I think, is where I would say that we are different in that we are a 5 day a week model with 2 days at home. And in that way, if we have parents who are working 5 days a week, this may not be the model for them. And I think that that's okay. I think that there are classical schools in our community that can provide a 5 day a week structure. Are there Christian classical schools that can provide a 5 day a week structure? That's possible. But we provide that partnership, and I think that's important. But it's only important if you can dedicate time to nourishing that partnership from both sides. And so I want to say yes. I would hope that that could be an opportunity, but I understand that we live in a reality where both parents may need to work 5 days a week, and that's okay. I think that they can find the beauty of classical education. They can find a Christian school. They might even be able to find both of those things in another place. What sets us apart is that partnership with being able to partner with parents in a university model.
Yeah, and being open and willing to engage your child in the educational process, not do all their work for them. They need to do their work, absolutely. But to be able to be there on those home days, not leave them to their own devices, but be there to guide, to redirect, to make sure that they are accomplishing the tasks that are set before them by our school and by their teachers.
In some way, I think that we do have some families that... I always say your home day person. I don't necessarily specify mom or dad, because some of our families are rich in being able to bring in grandparents or cousins or tutors to help with that home day model because this is important to them. And so I think that it is possible, but it still might not be for everyone.
Yeah, I think that that's actually a very important and worthwhile caveat that you put in there for sure. Yeah, we definitely don't want to diminish the role of grandparents in this community, of aunts and uncles and cousins and big siblings and those things in the educational process. So thank you. Thanks for helping us land there. That's so great. Well, as you look at your teaching, remember the dignity and the vital importance of your role as a teacher. Remember that our model, while similar to other logic level schools, is in fact different from them. Embrace those differences for the sake of your children, for the sake of your students, and for the glory of Christ. And that'll do it for now. And until next time, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.